Before we get into today's podcast, I want to offer you a powerful free resource. We often hear from listeners looking for answers to those who claim God cannot exist for a variety of scientific reasons. But science actually supports the existence of God, which is why I want to offer you a free download called God's Not Dead. It explores scientifically how our own cosmos points to a creator in three clear areas. Again, this powerful resource is yours absolutely free, so why not download God's Not Dead for free right now at premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources. Now, here's today's podcast.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis Podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show. Over the next few episodes, we're going to be looking at C.S. Lewis as a spiritual mentor, and I'm absolutely delighted to be joined once again by Professor Alistair McGrath, who, like Lewis, was raised in Northern Ireland. He came to faith from atheism, studied at Oxford University, and went on to become a professor there. Alistair has written numerous books on C.S. Lewis, including a seminal biography, C.S. Lewis, A Life. How can our individual stories find new meaning and significance from Christianity's grand story, as Lewis called it?
Well, Lewis talks about this in a number of ways, and I think the best way, really, is the way in which Lewis tells the stories of people who have been changed. The best example is the story of the Pevensey children in, well, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe to begin with, and then the rest of the Chronicles of Narnia, because what you have here is individual children with their own distinct, unique stories. And by becoming part of this bigger story of Narnia, you can see them changing. They suddenly realize they're part of something bigger. They suddenly realize that Aslan fits into this and we want to be like Aslan, and Aslan wants to do that. You know, you begin to see this process of rethinking, recalibration, where they work out, you know, my story can be helpful. I can do things in it and through it for something that's even better than me. And it's this whole question of redirecting your own story so it becomes part of something bigger. And by doing that, you find meaning and significance and value as you live. So Lewis is really giving us a very helpful way of realizing how by aligning our own story with the greater story of Christianity, we find meaning and purpose and peace. I think that's a very, very important point, because, again, it's so important that the New Testament, yes, it has epistles, which are very, very helpful. It also has the Gospels, which are about Christ's life. And again, how that can really help us think through how we should live.
So I suppose as a Christian listening to all of this, one question might be, how do we encourage other people to explore this big story? That was clearly something that was important for Lewis. He wrote a lot of literature for non-Christians. So where does story come into all of this? In, I guess, for want of a better word, in evangelism, how does story fit into that?
I think Lewis would say two things. One is that stories are very natural, that people like listening to stories, and very often they will suspend disbelief as they listen to a good story, whether that is the story of Narnia or whether it is your own individual story of coming to faith that you are telling them. The story will interest them. The question then is, does the story lead somewhere for me? Do I need to think about adjusting my own story in the light of those alternative stories? Because very often, you know, people are asking very deep questions of meaning and value. You know, what's the point of life? What am I meant to be doing? Why am I here? And actually, the best way of answering those is not by abstract argumentation, but by, in effect, telling a story of how, for example, you find meaning and purpose. That's the first point to make. But the second point is that it really brings home how each of us, who may not be very good at arguments, nonetheless can tell our stories. It may be a story of coming to faith and the difference that makes, or maybe a story of deepening faith and the difference that makes. But you see, the point is you're not arguing, you're simply telling your story and inviting your friend who's listening to say, look, I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm saying something has happened to me that really has brought me peace and depth and resilience. That might be you as well. And that can be planting a seed, which can be very, very important. So if you like, a narrative is a non-threatening way of beginning to plant seeds about the difference that Christianity might make. And that I think will give people food for thought.
Alistair, in light of all of that, the fact that narrative is a really powerful way of articulating these important truths, is there a particular way that Lewis would have spoken about the Christian story? Is there a way that he would have told the Christian story? And is there something we can learn from the way that he did that?
Well, Lewis did preach a sermon during the Second World War, which in effect was thinking about Christmas. And he compares Christmas, the act of Christmas, the meaning of Christmas, to be like somebody who dives into a deep lake and goes down and down and down, and eventually comes up with his lungs bursting, holding a precious object. And Lewis's point is, that's why he went down all that way to retrieve this. The incarnation is about God diving into our world to save us, to come where we are and bring us home. And see, what Lewis is doing there is telling a story, a very powerful story, which both gives you a sense of this idea, you know, of God coming down so we might go up, if I can put it very, very crudely. But Lewis is also saying that actually that just brings home to us how much we matter to God, how that's where we're meant to be. You know, Christianity is not about saying there's a ladder, go and climb and find God. It's about God coming down the ladder to us and then bringing us back to where he is. So I think Lewis gives us some very good examples of how you can tell stories that really connect to people's imaginations. At the same time, might just make someone say, ah, I get it. I see what Christianity is about. And stories very often have that ability to disclose something, to bring something home to people, which a pure argument doesn't.
And presumably those stories need to be told in the context of friendship. Friendship was clearly a really important thing for Lewis. We're not just going to meet a stranger, perhaps, and tell them a story. Or would he? What would he say about that? Is it to be done in, or is it a bit of both?
Well, I think Lewis is saying that something very special about friendship. It's a word he uses a lot and it means a lot to him. Whereby friends can share confidences, make themselves vulnerable to each other, including telling their own stories and things that really matter to them. So if you like, friendship for Lewis is a very natural arena in which to disclose these things, tell your story, and perhaps help somebody else realize what Christianity is all about. But Lewis's more natural location for telling stories is forward-facing, public-facing, where in effect he is giving a talk or writing a book where he's telling a story that makes points very, very powerfully and leaves its readers thinking, I want to know more about that. Again, that's why people very often go from Lewis's novels to Lewis's works of apologetics like Mere Christianity, because they see something in the novels and want to find out what it is. So they read Mere Christianity and that helps sort them out. So I think it's a very important thing to bear in mind.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
Did you know that this month marks the fourth anniversary of Premier Insight, the ministry that brings you this podcast? While it's a real season of celebration, there's also a very real financial challenge that must be met this month. Due to rising costs and the pressure of inflation, there's a $35,000 gap that must be closed this month to keep Premier Insight moving forward with strength. That's why I'm asking you to give a special anniversary gift to keep programs like this podcast on the air and equip a generation of Christians to live out their faith with clarity, conviction, and confidence. Simply go to premierinsight.org/C.S. Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/C.S. Lewis. Thank you for your support.
The the C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation. I suppose it's one thing telling the grand narrative of the Christian story, whether we do that in friendship or, like Lewis, from more of a platform. But it's another thing sharing our own stories, as you say, whether that's a testimony of coming to faith or deepening your faith. Would Lewis have any advice to people who want to share their stories but aren't quite sure how to do that? Would he have any thoughts on the sort of practicalities of how to go about sharing our individual stories?
Well, Lewis does say that we need to know who we're talking to and in effect make sure we talk to somebody using language they can understand, in effect addressing questions that they find meaningful. And one of the things that Lewis talks about, particularly in a talk he gave on Christian apologetics in 1945, was that you really have to avoid conveying the impression that you are the other, imposing yourself. It's much more about a conversation whereby you say, this is what works for me. Let me try and help you see how this might work for you as well. It's about learning their language as a way of saying, this is not something strange. This is something that could become yours. So maybe we think about that. For example, I mean, as Christians, we're terrible. We keep using jargon all the time, like salvation or incarnation. We've used that word several times in the last few minutes. And these need to be explained. So, you know, when we're talking to people who aren't Christians, let's avoid creating the them, us impression by in effect saying, you know, I'm a Christian. When I use this word, here's what I mean by it. It's really exciting. Let me tell you more about it. Let me tell you a story that helps you to understand why this is so important. So I think, again, this willingness to be able to understand where they're coming from, be able to speak to them without appearing to be an outsider imposing on them. That could be very important.
And that's particularly significant, isn't it, in 21st century, where in some ways we've actually lost, I guess, often even any echo of a Christian narrative, particularly if you talk to young people. There's just no even basic understanding of the Christian story, is there?
Well, that's right. So in effect, you're starting from ground zero. So you might be saying, look, I'm sure you probably don't know very much Christian. Let me try and help you understand. And what you might be doing is doing two things. One, conveying a sense of excitement. This really makes a difference. But also giving them some bare bones. And it might be the bare bones that you give them might well reflect your knowledge of them. For example, they feel nobody loves them. You know, talking about Christianity is really about the love of God being shown to us in Christ. And you can talk about that. Or again, if they feel they're looking for meaning, again, you can do things which really connect with that. But certainly, we just have to say that whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, the loss of public memory of Christianity is simply the way things are. We've got to adapt to that. And we can't change that by, you know, clicking our thumbs. We've got to, in effect, work with what we have. Work with where we are. And that's one of the things I think Lewis is very good at doing. But in his day, there was a bigger residual understanding of Christianity than we face today.
Although in some ways that's a negative thing, isn't it? Because you're having to get rid of false assumptions and stories and experiences that people have had, whereas the advantage of there being no base level is there's less to knock down, as it were, which I suppose Lewis probably had the problem of trying to correct people's wrong assumptions of what Christianity was.
I think that's right. Lewis had to deconstruct a lot of false stereotypes. For us, very often, that's not a problem, although they'll have this lingering cultural suspicion of something wrong with Christianity, even if they can't quite put their finger on what it is.
Alistair, what do you think are Lewis's best stories?
Well, Lewis does tell a lot of stories, and we've talked about Narnia quite a lot. Let's change the topic altogether and look at his first ever book, which, of course, is The Pilgrim's Regress. And that's all about Lewis telling the story of a pilgrim. That's Lewis, really. But a pilgrim has this deep sense of longing within him for something that would ultimately satisfy, and has this deep, deep, deep attraction to an island. A distant island, and his journey in which he travels to find this island, he discovers it and it changes him. And then as he goes back home, he realizes even though he's journeying through the same landscape, he sees it in a different way. Why? Because Christianity has changed the way we see things. It's his first book. It's a little bit clunky in terms of its narrative, but some of the points he makes are really, really good. So I mentioned that as a very early good example. If you want later examples, you could look at his science fiction trilogy, which I think are very, very good, or indeed that late book, Till We Have Faces, which I have to say some of my friends who love Lewis will say that's his best book. But again, Lewis speaks different ways to different people. You'll find something that you'll really connect with.
Did Lewis himself have a favourite story that he'd written, do we know?
Well, he did have a lot of affection for Till We Have Faces. He also felt, I think, a nostalgic admiration for that first book and The Pilgrim's Regress. And he was very, very sad it didn't sell very well. But I think Lewis took the view that basically all of his books were written for a purpose, and they're all important for that reason.
And did he have a particular story outside of his own writing?
By that you mean?
Did he have a favourite story that he read himself that wasn't his own story?
Yes, I mean, Lewis loved some of the Anglo-Saxon myths. He loved some of the classic Greek myths. And of course, he loved some of the stories that were told in the Middle Ages. So you often see Lewis using these not so much as reference points, but rather you can see that very often some of his own stories build in elements of those stories. In other words, he's learned from what he does. I mean, Till We Have Faces really retelling a Greek myth. In other words, he's saying, here's the way it was told. I'm retelling it because there's something we can say is very important for us today, but we need to retell it to make the connections.
Alistair, is there anything else you would recommend reading to delve deeper into Lewis's thinking around stories?
I think my basic advice would be to try and find something by Lewis you really like and read it very slowly and say, why am I enjoying this so much? Trying to identify what is about it, which makes it so important. Many people like Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe for precisely this reason. They read very, very slowly and they can see what Lewis is doing. So they're enjoying two things, the story, but also the way Lewis tells it.
And what is it that makes a good story? Because clearly Lewis was such a great storyteller, but what was it that made them such great stories?
I think the sense of discovery, you know, this is a journey which sometimes takes you by surprise. And Lewis tries to make it as pleasant as possible by using imaginative language, which helps you to feel you're enjoying yourself as you go along. But it's the idea, this is going somewhere. You don't know where it's going yet, but there will be some prizes along the way. But actually, by the end of this book, you will say, I'm so glad I read this because it's taken you to some very good places and help you understand things better.
Alistair, thank you so much. And do let us know your favourite stories of Lewis, or if you're discovering it for the first time, we'd love to know why you have enjoyed it, what it is you're reading, and do share your thoughts with the rest of us. Visit premierunbelievable.com to get in touch. Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the programme. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos, and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources, and more. That's premierunbelievable.com. What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @premierunbelievablefe, or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook @premierunbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there @premier.unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Soon, I will be taking a trip over the pond for the inaugural Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference at George Fox University in Oregon. I'm hoping to record lots of exciting content out there, which we will then play on the show. But you will also have the opportunity to virtually stream some of the sessions live if you'd like to. The conference runs from the 5th to the 8th of September, and you can find out more by heading to the George Fox University website and searching C.S. Lewis Conference. I will also stick the link in today's show notes. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.